Hi, Kim.
Hi.
I'm so excited to talk with you today. Can you please, for our listening audience, introduce yourself?
Yes, happy to. So, Kim Holland, I am the proud director of early learning and school readiness for Gwinnett County Public Schools.
What does that mean? What does early learning and school readiness mean for a public education system that starts with pre-K?
Right. So that is a great question. So 8 years ago when I started, it meant making community connections. So we in the school system had developed a kindergarten readiness entry profile assessment in order to find out whether kids were ready for kindergarten. And we looked at all domains of development, so both academic and social emotional and everything else that goes along with, you know, being a four-year-old headed into kindergarten. And we found that 52% of our children were not ready. They were coming into kindergarten underprepared. And that was with 70% being the benchmark.
Wait, 52% is a huge number. And when you say not ready, paint me a picture. What? Well, you guys developed an assessment, but what are we considering what readiness would look like or not look like?
You know, can't give away all the secrets of the standardized assessment and all
sure,
that.
Sure, sure, sure.
But when you think about, you know, a child being ready, one, it's those foundational academics skills. So, you know, literacy, math, science, social studies, all of those kind of prerequisites for being able to enter kindergarten and be able to jump right into AKS. So, you know, some counting things, some number sense, mathematical thinking.
This is literacy. Can they recognize any letters? Can they?
Right. Okay. All of those kinds of things, as well as being able to follow some simple directions, share some things in the classroom, you know, be able to collaborate with their peers, be able to persist, right? So get in and do a task and follow the lead of what the teacher is wanting them to do. And so we have 12,000 children entering kindergarten. So 52% not ready is a large number.
That's huge.
So my job really was to develop a system of how the community in partnership with organizations and nonprofits could come around this number and change that trajectory for children. So it was more about community awareness and community projects than it was about, you know, a pre-K to 12 school system.
I mean, that seems like it has to be, right? Because you were talking about kindergarten readiness. That is, by definition, the things that happen before they get into the school system.
Right. Sort of our motto around here is kindergarten readiness is not a kindergarten problem.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right.
So
that's how it all got started.
Yeah. Like, how do you go find whoever is out there doing the things that who has the kids before they come to you? And how do you build those relationships? Because I have to think this has got to be totally relationship based, right?
Absolutely. So I did a couple things. The first thing I did was research nationally, like what are people doing,
right?
How are they getting kids ready for kindergarten? And then I looked internally to this county and said, who's doing this great work? Like, who can we partner with and what can we do to make a difference? And so we started with two different pieces. One was an internal to the school system program called Play to Learn. Mm-hmm. And so we knew that parents are their child's first and best teacher, right?
Right.
But kids don't come with an instruction manual. It's not like at the hospital, they hand you your educational degree and saying you're now an expert on teaching. Right. So our goal was to bring parents whose children weren't in early learning centers into our school buildings for a model preschool experience. So we're both teaching the parent and the child for 90 minutes a week for the school year. And then they take those skills home with them and continue that child's education. And so that was and that was not my brilliant idea. I'd love to take credit for it, but I certainly take credit for getting in touch with the person who actually started Play to Learn in another state. Mm-hmm. And so that was one piece that we picked up from Boston Public Schools and brought to Georgia, and brought to Gwinnett specifically. And so back 7 years ago, we started that program in 3 of our schools, and we're now in 81 of our schools with this program, and the community clamors for it. Like, we don't have enough spots and places, you know, for families, because they want this type of environment. They want to know how to teach their child. They want to understand how a child's brain develops. And they're just fascinated by, you know, how simple it can be, right? Just narrating your life is a way to engage with your child and build that, you know, child's brain and the foundation mm-hmm. for learning.
Do you find, so I hear about from lots of different types of programs, parental engagement is often difficult. The parents that we want to reach the most are often the most overwhelmed with the rest of the stuff going on in their lives and whatever. But you're saying parents are banging down the doors for this. I mean, what a great example. Like, there has got to be trust there. If they want it and they're showing up, that's fantastic. How do you build that?
One family at a time.
Yep.
So, you know, when we first started, there were some success stories and some that weren't as successful, right? Sure. And we have a norm around here called failing forward, right? So we figured out what was it that we weren't doing, that we weren't giving parents that they needed. And so it started to build. We constantly changing, constantly improving, and now have a system in place where, you know, parents trust what we're providing to them and how we're advertising and through what organizations, you know, that they already trust. They already trust the nonprofit that they're working with. They already trust their, you know, faith-based leaders. Those types of things we really tapped into in order to, you know, tell parents this is a great thing for you. And then just word of mouth, right? Mm-hmm. From one family to another. And that then just built the capacity. And they knew that this was something that was fun and engaging for them. It was a social opportunity for both their children and for them. We have lots of families that have outside, you know, activities they do together. They do birthday parties, they have play dates, they go to the park, they go to story time at the library together. They do all of these things as a community. And it's building that relationship between the parent and the school.
Yes.
And so now they're a part of that school and they know people as they walk in with their child, because they're there the whole time with their child. So they're meeting the administration, they're meeting the front office staff. And so they're your best volunteers, you know, and advocates for the school. And they're not afraid to talk to a teacher to ask questions and pieces like that. So there have been some other things that have come out of this program that weren't intended, but are wonderful at the same time.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, those secondary benefits are amazing. All right, I'm sorry, I got you off topic. Keep going. Tell me more.
Yeah, so that's the internal piece. And so now we're doing a lot of other things as well. The system is really invested in early learning in our schools, because we know that, you know, from brain science, that 90% of a child's brain foundationally is built before they get to us. So we've got to do some things back here, you know, in order to make sure that children are ready to thrive. So the school system has stepped up and we're doing Play to Learn in all of our elementary schools next year in 2 middle schools. We have parent trainings. We're about to embark on a Play to Learn mobile bus that's going to go out in the community, because we know not all parents have access to transportation, right, to get to us. So we're going to take it to them, take it on the streets starting in the fall. And so lots of things going on in the school system. But the other piece that you asked about earlier was around, like, who and where and how do you reach out into the community? So we started with a small group of people who heard about this 52% and were like, that can't be true in Gwinnett. Like, that just can't be here in our community.
And isn't I was that like, funny yeah. how that's That's what we think. We often think that. Surely not in my yard.
You just don't see it, right? So big players came around. So our community foundation, our library system, our health department, our community services through our our county government, some nonprofit leaders, business leaders, some politicians. We came around the table and started with maybe 8 or 9 of us starting to talk about a strategy, because we knew that without a strategy, it was going to be person dependent, right? If the people around the table change, then the thing changes. And so we spent about 1.5 years working on a strategy. And as the strategy started to unfold, more people came around the table. We're like, oh, we need somebody from this group. We need somebody from this group. So over time, about 50 or more organizations and people have sat around this table developing this strategy. And out of that strategy came our initiative, which is Gwinnett Building Babies Brains. And that's so it
huge.
Go ahead.
That, no, I'm just like processing that process of coalition building where you say we need, like, as you go, every step sort of says what the next 2 steps are. And the whole time you're working towards this one goal, but you, like, along the way are able to adjust and say, you know who else needs to be here? You know who we should talk? I mean, that's so important, I think, for building the kind of coalition that, like you said, doesn't change when someone changes or when a mood changes. And it sounds very multi-sector. I mean, you said politicians, health, obviously education, nonprofits, I imagine philanthropy, I imagine the school systems themselves, like all these different folks. How, I always ask this question because it's something that I run into a lot with our work. There's this balance between the people who are moved because they love children versus they are moved because they see the data. And I have to imagine both of those are important communication methods when you're trying to speak to a broad coalition of people to say, look, this stuff matters and we all need everyone invested in it. You said you reach your national data, but then you also have your like local evaluations that you did. What are the other sort of major data points or sources that you turn to help make the communication argument to people?
So a lot of it has been truly around brain science, right? Like talking about, did you know, we did this whole campaign around did you know questions, right? So did you know that, you know, when a baby is born, their brain is growing at a rate of 1 million neural connections a second? And you take a second and people are like, wow.
That's a lot.
You know, brain doubles in volume in 90 days. So 80% developed by 3, 90 by 5. You show these amazing videos of amazing children. I don't know if you've seen it, so just going to give a plug because it's amazing. But
no, I would tell Talk, me, and then I'm definitely going to Google.
Yeah, so TED Talk, Molly Wright. She's okay. In Australia. She's this amazing, precocious young person who gets up and does this TED Talk about brain science and about serve and return. And she does it better than any of us will ever do it. But I think it's around those pieces. There are also economic pieces we talk about. So depending on, you know, again, you care about children. So we want to make sure they thrive. We want to make sure they graduate from high school and become these productive citizens, right? You also look at the data and say 52% of kids in 2018 were entering kindergarten not ready. But you also say for every dollar invested, $13 in return. And then people are like, oh, wait a minute.
All the different pieces.
It's got a financial piece. You know, Gwinnett's economy is so strong because of the people who live here. And people move here because of the school system and the library system and all of the parks and places that we have, but also because it's a thriving community. And that starts with our babies.
Yep. All right, I got you distracted again. I'm sorry. Okay. So building babies' brains gets kicked off.
It's kicked off. So one of the things that we did when we were building this strategy is we decided that we wanted to look at funding differently. We wanted to look at funding when we needed funds, not get a grant and then do some stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So figure out the strategy and then seek funding specific to that strategy. So we have three key levers that we're trying to pull on. So one is around awareness and support. So making sure everybody understands that brain science I was just talking about, that understands how you build your baby's brain. So talking, reading, singing, engaging in some way that it takes a 3D person to person for those neural connections to stay, you know, connected to each other and not be pruned off. So just awareness around this importance, and that we did some focus groups with parents, and parents don't understand these things. Like many parents know that their child loves to engage with them, but they don't know what's happening. Right.
Sure. And sure. If you're not a scientist, you haven't studied it. You
don't know these things.
You don't know what the implications of pruning your brain neurons are. Like,
right. What are you talking about?
Prune my blueberries. Like, I certainly don't know.
Right. So there was that awareness piece. And that's really where we started, around just a general awareness campaign. So we made sure that all of the people around the table bought in to the strategy and we're going to promote it. So everywhere we could be as ambassadors or members of this working group team, we were telling people about this importance. We got funding to do billboards. We had postcards. We know in Gwinnett is a hugely, beautifully, vastly diverse community. So we knew there was going to be language, you know, translation that was going to be needed. So we sought funding for that, to make sure our postcards and our website was all translated into this, you know, into the what we call our big five. So translated into four languages and then English as the fifth. And we knew that we needed a hub, like where all these things would live. And so one of the first things we did was create a robust website. So buildingbabiesbrains.com. And we vetted.
Let's say it again for the listening audience.
Buildingbabiesbrains.com.
There we go. Okay. Yep.
Thank you for that. And so it's really a repository of all kinds of resources for parents. We're not building things. We're not creating things. We're finding the best of the best, and we're putting it on the website for parents. And so that's where they also come to find out where things are. So our second lever is around high quality resources and programming in the areas in which parents are, right? If this great resource is way across town and I don't have access, then
it doesn't matter to me. Right.
And so we try to tell people where these things are, when they're going to be in their area through an event calendar, and making sure that they know what's happening. But we also, as partners within this, are talking to each other about these high quality programs. The library system has amazing library branches, but not everyone can access them. And so we embarked on this amazing collective approach, which is our third lever around working together to build these little libraries that were specific to children birth to age 8. And so we call them Great Little Minds Book Exchanges. They're all over the county now.
Are these, when I think of like the little library, I think of that's like a little tiny box with a door and it's got, and you can just take a book and leave a book, and they're at cute locations like outside of a cafe or in a playground or by the library or in the park.
And so we came together as different organizations to do different parts of this particular, you know, project, because we needed these books to be where families were.
Right.
And they didn't have access to our elementary schools and all of these other places to get books. But we did have the ability to come together in a collective way to create these. And so over time, this has been handed off from our Coalition for Human and Health Services over to Community Services, which is our Parks and Rec people.
That's a really cool evolution.
So they're the best people to do it.
Right.
Right. They're in the parks. They're there. They've got vans.
Buildings.
So since we started that in 2020, now remember pandemic.
Right.
They have given out in these, they're supposed to be book exchanges, right? But the need is so great for books in your home library. I think the number I saw yesterday was like 78,000 books.
That's magnificent. What an impact. And then where do those books come from?
They come from all over. We have an amazing relationship with Goodwill.
Mm-hmm.
They have donated about, you know, giant, giant boxes of these books. We have churches doing book drives. We have sororities doing book drives. Like all the time we're getting these books to fill up these book exchanges.
Where, if I were a sorority, or if I were just like a member of a community group or had a church that wanted to look, how would I plug in and be like, oh, I could do a book drive for these people. I want to do a good deed. Here is a good deed to be done. How would I find out about it and connect with you?
Yeah. So on that website, there is a contact us section. So When you go to buildingbabiesbrains.com, go to contact us, or you can send an email to info@buildingbabiesbrains.com.
Got it. You hear that, listening audience? info@buildingbabiesbrains.com. And then you too can donate and stock these magnificent little libraries that have given away 78,000 books. That is so many books.
That is, it's amazing. And we talk about, speaking of that type of, you know, giving, obviously none of this that we're doing besides our volunteer time does cost money, right? So we do talk about time, treasure, and talent. And those are the things that we need. So time being volunteering to be an ambassador, or giving your time to collect books or take books to a Great Little Minds book exchange. We also talk about treasure, so funds, right? Or things. So if you have a bunch of books, or you want to go purchase books and, you know, donate them, or any other type of activity, right? We talk all the time about how the simplest things like Play-Doh can make a huge difference in building a child's brain. But also talent. So like we have people who are amazing social media people, and we're tapping into that talent. We have people writing blogs. We have people, you know, doing all of these different things. People who are great business people, who are sales, great at sales, they can go out and sell Building Babies Brains, right, to people, and to get donations and to do things. And so everyone has specific talents, and we love to tap into those talents to help move this work forward, because we aren't there. So just sharing a little bit of data history here. So for a couple of years, we stayed at that 52%.
Mm-hmm.
We are getting
a couple of pandemic years.
Well, and you know, Gwinnett, in terms of our, you know, poverty rate, we are increasing in the rate of poverty in Gwinnett. And so to even stay at 52%, we thought was really actually a good thing, that we weren't going backwards. Now, the pandemic was a thing. So there's a year we don't have data, that, you know, mysterious 2020 that we all want to forget. In 2021, we were still working really hard, like building awareness. We were still meeting every month as a working group team. Website was getting ready to launch. We were doing all these things in 2020. And so in 2021, that percentage of kids not ready went to 54%. Now that's unfortunate, but could have been way worse. Like,
I mean,
we were bracing because we know what happened during the pandemic to childcare.
Ugh.
It just disappeared.
Sure.
Right. And families were at home trying to take care of themselves, their children, education went virtual, you know, like all these things happened. So 54%, we were like, this is great. We're doing a job, you know, this is working.
Yep.
So this year, 1 year later, when the data came out, we were crossing our fingers and holding our breath and hoping all this work had paid off, and it did. So we decreased 3% and are at 51%, not ready. And so that is a huge increase just in 1 year.
I mean, and like in, like you were just saying, all of the effects of the pandemic, I mean, that's not, what a year,
right?
You know, of all the years, what a year to have it moving in the right direction. That is exciting. So that's the most recent data. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So now we're moving.
So we are definitely moving. There are so many things happening around early learning in Gwinnett. Just a constant, you know, something's going on. I was just this past weekend at a all kids expo at our fairgrounds. Yeah. And there were 2,000 people there, and we were able to hand out lots of information and share with parents about our Play to Learn program in the school system, to share about building babies' brains, have kids engage in activities, and talking to parents about what's happening when you're engaging, mm-hmm. you know, with your child in this activity. And so those types of situations are happening more and more and more. And our organizations that reach a lot of children. So our Parks and Recreation Community Services Group, they have a program called B2 Anywhere, which is Building Brains Anywhere. And so they're in the parks doing programs in the parks, doing story times in the parks, doing all kinds of STEM activities for littles, you know, to help their parents understand how important that is. And our library system has so many story times and so many activities. And they're starting to partner with our elementary schools to do activities together for families who have, you know, littles below five who aren't in school yet. And so this momentum is really exciting. And we talk about that snowball, right? So we started with this tiny little ball, right? And been rolling it along. And now it's a giant boulder that we're really starting to push down the hill. And so it's an exciting time to be in Gwinnett and to be involved in early learning.
Yay. That is so cool. And I think there really is a tipping point somewhere where, because like you said, there's a lot going on in the early learning space in general. Gwinnett is a huge county, a lot of people who love kids. Everybody loves kids. Little kids are the cutest, right? So, but trying to get things sort of streamlined and organized and have people know, oh, I want to do a thing in the park, or I'm already doing something in this neighborhood or whatever, I can connect with you and we can bring resources right. together and amplify that. There's a real tipping point that comes along where you go from being like, we're just getting it started and we're going to see what we need to see, to being somebody that is the thing that people think of when they're like, we want to do work with littles and help parents and help build babies' brains.
We did see this interesting switch that just occurred, I would say, this fall.
Yeah.
So we used to have to knock on doors and say, please let Building Babies' Brains be a part of this event or this activity, or come and speak, or, you know, and this fall that switched to people contacting us.
I mean, that's magnificent. And I think that is such a look. We work with a lot of people who work with smaller nonprofits, right? And it's a slog sometimes, and it is heartful work that is challenging at times. And I think that's such a great testimony to, if you keep walking down the path, right, then you do hit that tipping point and you do be the one that gets invited, because people know your work and they know that they know your value, and they see it and they want to be connected with it and they want to bring it to the people that they're serving. And I think that's very exciting. So good job.
Yeah. So it's good job to the collective we.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we say all the time, is that it takes a lot of people and passion to make this work. You know, the work I do in the school system around play to learn and early learning and school readiness activities is amazing amount of work that's happening in the school system. Like you said earlier, pre-K through 12, you know, great. What are we doing in the early learning business?
Right.
But we need to be in this space. And so, but the school system can only do so much.
Sure.
Right. We need all these other players who are around us, and we're all going in the same direction. We all have the same message and supporting each other under this Building Babies Brains umbrella. So that's really, I mean, this is what a collective impact model, you know, is really meant to do, is to bring people together at, you know, to solve a problem, right? To support our families within our communities in the way that they want and need and deserve. And so that's what we're trying to do.
That's fantastic. Do you have any, here's my last sort of question here. Do you have any advice for another community? Gwinnett has a lot of uniqueness. You talked about the diversity earlier, and certainly just the population. I mean, you guys have a lot of people, and there is a lot of poverty, but there is also a lot of resources. You have a lot of your proximity to Atlanta. There's a lot of resources there. But I work with communities across the state, including much smaller and more remote ones, but they are facing the same issues in terms of lots of poverty, in terms of trying to increase early literacy, trying to increase kindergarten readiness, trying to make that argument, you know, to help people understand that this is, they're investing here has very long-term impacts, even though you don't see them maybe until these little biddies are much older. But
yeah, we talk about running a marathon.
Right. But if you have advice for another community, if they are trying to either learn from what you guys have going on or replicate it, can they contact you? Where, how do they get started? Where would you direct somebody who says, we want to do something like this for our kids?
Absolutely. I mean, they can contact me as the same info at my office in here are the folks who are checking that email. So I can certainly be contacted that way. I think the biggest thing is to find the people in your community who care about this work and who are in it for the right reasons, right? They want to change the lives of children. And so sitting around the table and having conversations about what can we do? What's the low-hanging fruit? Because that's how we started, right? And then what are the things that we can do to start building capacity? And the strategy is really the key piece to this. It's not about the individual people or organizations. It's really about determining what is your strategy and staying laser focused on it. We don't do anything as a group that doesn't fit directly in that strategy. And that keeps you focused. And that also allows you to write meaningful grants. Right? You are trying to do a thing and you need funds to do a thing. And so you can, you know, apply for grants in that way. It's also about having local data. You know, you really need to have access to some kind of data that speaks to people.
Do you get that from your relationship with the schools? Is that where you guys? Yep. Okay.
So we developed it internal, but every school has some kind of data pieces, you know, that they can access. And even if you lean in on third grade reading and just back it up, you know, to talk about this is the percent of children in our community that aren't reading proficiently at the end of third grade, we've got to do something. Yeah, so back it up.
Yep. Fantastic. Organizationally, we are big believers in research and data. And so it was very validating to hear that. Thank you. A listening audience, that wasn't me. I didn't plant that. She said that. but I will also be sure that we connect in the notes, obviously your website, but I think there are so many different types of communities across Georgia, but this issue cuts across. I mean, this is not a local issue. This is a statewide, this is a national challenge. If it was easy to do, it would be being done already everywhere, right? We would have solved the problem already, but it is a challenge. And I appreciate that shared challenges make for opportunities to learn from each other and have shared solutions. And I think that's, you know, you guys are doing really important work, and that is something that other communities can learn from. I also really love the attitude that this is a marathon, which I think is important and relevant, not just in terms of like, yeah, they're three now, and so when they're 25, their lives will be different, but that's many years from now, right? But also in terms of, you can't boil the ocean, you can't solve these, like, it's not going to be like one. We went from 54% to 51%. Next year, it's not going to be 0%, right? It's not, it is a long process and it's incremental change, but it does add up over time. And I think that's a really important perspective for people to bring to the table when we're talking about this kind of project.
And just staying focused on, in Gwinnett, you talked about volume, right? Scalability, those mm-hmm. pieces. We have 60,000 children birth to age 5, right? And some communities have way less than that. But even in my mind, in this largest community, it's one kid at a time.
Right.
Like every one family that you support and make a difference in is going to make a difference in our future later on.
Absolutely.
Right. So we're supporting them one at a time. Now, if we can do a bunch at a time, that's great. But we really do have the mentality that each and every child deserves that chance to be successful and to thrive in kindergarten and beyond.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you for all the work that you're doing. And thank you for sharing your story with us and giving us the opportunity to shine a light on it. It's something that's very close to my heart and very close to our heart organizationally. And I love being able to point people to you when they say, well, gosh, how do we help our kids? How do we change lives? There's some good guidance here. And your website is full of resources and good brain data.
Yes. Well, thank you for the opportunity. I love talking about this work. And so appreciate the opportunity to chat with you today.
Well, you are a rock star. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Hey there, listener. One more thing before you go. You've been hearing from us, but we'd love to hear from you. We at the Georgia Partnership always want to get better at what we're doing. So let us know what you think so far. Also, what are we missing out there across this great state? Who's doing cool things in your neighborhood to support the education and workforce pipeline? What innovations and solutions has your community come up with around economic development? Are there some great partnerships between sectors like housing, health, transportation that are making a difference in your educational outcomes? We'd love to hear about them and spread the word about good work being done across Georgia. We hope to hear from you. To contact us, go to our website, gpee.org, and click on the Contact Us tab in the top right corner. Or give Robert, our communications guru, a call at 404-223-2464. Thanks for listening, listener.